bad rater reports, which is pretty much our excuse to talk about anything. And this week it features who I feel, without really having ever met him, is on the very short list for most interesting men in the world. It is James Goldstein, NBA super fan. Let's just introduce you as that and work from there. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Welcome to Dallas. You're here on a regular basis, though.
It's always fun for me to come here and watch the playoff games. I've been doing it for quite a while.
Yes, you have. So, all right. And Dan, if you have a better way to explain Jimmy to our audience, feel free. But
I would first say you're that guy.
That guy.
Like, we went to Sacramento years ago.
I was telling him, Arco Arena was my first.
And we were like, wait, we've seen him before. He's on this baseline, or, you know, you're always courtside. We're very close, right?
Always courtside.
And you stand up. Okay, always courtside. You're not second row.
We're not second row here.
And you clearly stand out. You have, I don't want to say flamboyant outfits. That might give a different connotation than I'm going for, but...
No, that's all right.
Flamboyant
like
is okay?
Sure.
Maybe some sparkly jackets, or your hair is impressive. It's just graying and probably hanging out all around your cowboy hat, perhaps.
Would it be...
Maybe wearing a scarf or an ascot?
Jimmy, would it be wrong to... Because I believe we described you in the early going, before we knew your name was Jimmy, as the guy who kind of looks like Tom Petty in the first row, on some level. On some... When Tom Petty is going for a hat and some leather pants of some sort. I don't know. It's tough.
I've been taken for him many times.
Okay.
I like to think that I'm better looking than he is, but anyway, as I've gotten better known in recent years, people don't mistake me for him so much anymore, but they used to do it a lot.
Right, right.
So you're not offended at being thought of as that guy. Hey, who's that guy?
No, I sort of get amused by it.
Okay.
All right, so basically it's
But it's
this,
at arenas. You got well, to go to games,
but
not
there
arenas
are,
to games.
There are certain people that stick out at different arenas. The point, the fascination with Jimmy, of course, is this time of year, you can be seen in, we saw you certainly here quite a bit. Then we see you out at the Staples Center. Then we see you in Oklahoma City for the Memphis series. I'm trying to figure out where else I've seen you in these playoffs, but you're in all of the arenas, and it's seemingly...
Like in Chicago, you'll see the Chicago celebs.
Right.
You know, you see Jack in L.A.
Right. And Jimmy.
Yeah, you're the guy who goes everywhere, which is, you got to be the only guy that does this.
I think I am, but I'm commonly known by many fans as... that Laker fan, because they see me in the first row at so many games at the Staples Center. But I'd like to clear up a misconception.
Yes.
I am not a Lakers fan. I'm probably the number one anti-Lakers fan. And I sit in the first row at the Laker games and always root for the other team. The Laker players know that. I'm friends with them. They sort of kid me about it. They take it pretty well with the exception of Kobe and Phil. The two of them, I don't think, could ever accept that.
Okay.
That I would be rooting against them.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know. Okay, I did not know that about you. That's interesting. I did assume that you didn't mind seeing the Lakers do well. And in fact, when I read stuff about you, it seems oftentimes that it is a great mystery on how he feels about the games he's watching. He is merely a fan of the sport and of just great competition. And it goes no further than that, and you say...
Yes, I call myself an NBA fan because I follow every single team in the NBA as closely as possible.
This is James Goldstein, that guy. I think that's appropriate, Dan. His business card, which he handed to me the other night, right after midnight, offers architecture, fashion, and basketball. And I will position that business card prominently in my office, if you don't mind, because... This is a big win to get you into the studio. I appreciate you doing this. I wasn't going to stay for the press conference. And that's the other thing, Dan, is there are a lot of fans that do stick out for various reasons. Very few of them are at press conferences and seeming to know all the players and everyone in the NBA. And seems to, I don't know if you have press credentials, and I don't know that you need them. It almost is like you are your own press credential, and that's pretty cool. And I don't know how you did it, but it's neat.
Well, I've just gotten to be very well known in some of the arenas, including the Dallas Arena.
And
as you walk around the bowels, they know who you are.
They know.
No one's frisking you.
That's correct.
Okay, were you at the final Phil Jackson press conference?
Yes, I was. And I got tremendous satisfaction out of seeing Dallas sweep the Lakers. That was one of my finest moments.
That was some game, that game four. Were you offended at the final question to Phil Jackson? The 1920s reporter guy question?
Do we have audio of that, Grubbs? I would like to think we could find the final question of the Phil Jackson press briefing in game four. From Scoops Callahan.
Champ, being a Hall of Famer like the legendary Bonnie Mighty Mike Cedrin and having more rings than Douglas Fairbanks, even as Oscars, you have to ultimately take a lot of pride in knowing that you and your cage career were nothing but the bee's knees.
Amen. Thank you very much.
That was our guy who walked you in.
That's the guy who...
That's Tom.
Your car. Yeah, we're...
But you weren't...
we're horribly responsible.
You weren't very upset by that, were you?
No.
Okay, there were just a couple of media members who were.
So how many games will you go to in a given, because I think your big travel starts when the playoffs start, right? That's on your annual calendar, is it's playoff time.
Yes, that's when my traveling starts. But during the regular season, I attend almost all the Laker and Clipper games. So between the regular season and the playoffs, I attend well over 100 NBA games a year.
Man, that's awesome. Sounds expensive, too. Sounds like a very expensive
hobby.
For
how many years have you been doing this?
I've been attending the Laker and Clipper games virtually all my life. But as far as going on the road is concerned, I started doing that roughly 25 years ago, and I've stepped it up gradually over the years to a point where now I attend close to 40 playoff games every year.
So you were at all the Jordan finals and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, I've been very involved with the NBA since the 50s.
Do you know Jordan?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Are you a fan or were you rooting against the Bulls?
No one did
that, did they?
Root against the Bulls?
Yeah, a lot of people.
I think the Knicks people.
Yeah, a lot of people in New York, a lot of people in Miami.
That, but it just seems like...
Well, I rooted for the Bulls. I was a good friend and still am of Dennis Rodman.
Oh, really?
And I admired Michael Jordan very much, and so I liked the Bulls.
So, okay, and obviously when it's playoff time and you say you get to about 40 playoff games, is that what you said?
35 to 40, depending on how long the playoffs last.
And as we know, that there's a lot of change of cities. You can't quite hide out in one city. You've got to go from place to place. In fact, when I talked to you Tuesday night in the early hours of Wednesday morning, I was kind of surprised to hear you weren't running up to Chicago for the Chicago-Miami game, because I don't think it's uncommon for you to do 5 or 6 playoff games in a week, right?
Well, during the first 4 weeks of the playoffs, I attended 27 games in 28 days.
Jeez!
And there were two days where there were no games being played at all, but there was one day when I attended 2 games, so that's how I did it.
What games?
Yeah,
now
we got to hear how you did that.
How was that day like?
That day was easier than other times when I've done a doubleheader. Wasn't the first time. I started out in San Antonio at a game that was played at noon, and then went to Oklahoma City for a game that was played at 8 o'clock, so I had plenty of time.
Do you have your own plane?
No, I fly commercial.
Really?
And
Coach?
I try to keep the cost down by flying coach because I spend so much on tickets that I have to justify it to myself somehow.
Okay, so there is some kind of a thought of you don't just throw money around everywhere.
Correct.
So are you, this is a sensitive question, but are you comped tickets by the NBA or by given franchises for their front row? That's extremely costly.
There's no way, right?
Especially in the playoffs.
It's extremely costly. I'm not comped tickets by anyone. The teams cooperate with me. San Antonio even sets up a special seat for me next to the table in the center of the court. But I pay a healthy price for that ticket.
Do you have people like to set these things up for you? You have your assistant set up the flights and all this, or do you do this yourself?
I have a travel agent who sets up the flights, but I do all the ticket arranging myself because I'm the one who has the contacts.
Wow.
Like, and you don't just call the ticket office. You call Mark Cuban.
No, I don't call Mark Cuban. I wouldn't bother him. Okay. Actually, in Dallas, I buy my ticket from a friend of mine who has an extra seat that he sells to me whenever I come here. But with other teams, I have a contact with, let's say, the general manager, or maybe it's evolved to their head of the ticket operations who knows me from past years and comes up with a good seat for me.
And if you're not sitting courtside, you're not in the arena, right? If they say we don't have any courtside tickets,
we got row three, Jimmy.
Maybe we have section 100 in the lower bowl. Are you going to get that ticket or are you going to say forget that?
I won't say that I absolutely refuse to go to a game that I'm not sitting courtside at, but it certainly helps if I have to decide between two games. In one game, I have a courtside, and the other, I don't.
Now, is there a city that doesn't play ball? Is there a city where you've been unable to find connections, or surely not at this point?
Well, I'm not as wired into the Eastern Conference as I am the Western Conference for geographic reasons and also the fact that the Western Conference teams play in L.A. more often than Eastern Conference teams. I have much closer connections with all the Western Conference teams. And so there are some teams in the East where I have to scramble a little bit if that team happens to be in the finals, let's say.
All right, this is James Goldstein with us on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. In fact, to see his exotic courtside wear, I would imagine a simple Google Images search will give you a wide array of various things he has thrown down in the front row of playoff games, and then you'll notice him in every game you go to, like me. You will see, oh, well, there's Jimmy right down there. He's
What do you prefer, Jimmy, James, Goldie, I've seen you called?
I don't really care.
Mr. Goldstein?
No, Mr. Goldstein, I hate. So.
Okay.
Anything but that.
All right, well, let's do this. Let's knock out a break, come back. We've got a million other things to talk to you about, of course. And Bad Radio Reports continues on The Ticket.
The Unticket.
But you barely had any confidence in that.
When do I ever have confidence?
No. Donovan didn't.
Oh, what does he know?
That's what I'm saying.
I know, right?
Why are we even arguing?
I'm right here, fellas.
Mike Soroy on Friday will be at the grand opening of the newest Edwin Watts Golf Store in Allen from 3 to 5. Demo the hottest new equipment, browse the latest trends and styles, or have their performance-fitting experts match you with the proper equipment. Or you can stop by to see Mike Soroy. And sign up to win a brand new Ping driver and enjoy some free Rudy's barbecue. Edwin Watts Golf's newest store in Allen on the northwest corner of North Central Expressway at McDermott, north on the frontage road by Stacy's Furniture, and on the border. How long is the plug, Grandpa?
Seriously.
Man.
All right. In studio, it's Jimmy Goldstein. He's
Wisconsinite.
Are you upset with NBA superfan? Can we label you as that?
If you want.
Okay, that's not something that bothers you, though. Mr. Goldstein bothers you.
Correct.
NBA superfan. You're at many, many games. And in the playoffs, you travel from city to city just to see different. Like, will you go see some Heat games? Heat Bulls?
Right now, I'm primarily focused on the Dallas series, but it's possible that I'll decide to go to Miami.
Okay.
So I didn't realize you're a Wisconsinite, although it appears you got out of there as quick as you could, right? I'm Wisconsin as well.
Okay. Well, I grew up there and then decided to go to college in California. And once I was in California, I didn't have much interest in moving back to Milwaukee.
You're a wise man.
How old are you, Jimmy?
Well, that's the secret.
Okay.
I'm still...
he's a man of mystery.
Would I guess
still,
over 50?
Still hanging out with the 20-year-old girls, and so I don't like to talk to my age,
you know,
about
you,
my age too much.
Okay, I
it's
get in, that.
It's intriguing. He is unbelievably impressive in that his Wikipedia page might be the only one without a date of birth on it. There's just no... So you've managed to keep this from everyone. Also, since you did bring up showing up with 20-year-old models, many people are asking us for the story. It was a Lakers-Mavs game, in fact, and there's some Danish model. Is that your fashion thing? Is that, or was that just a girl you saw at the game? Or that picture, I guess, is very famous, and you're in it, but most people are looking at the other person in the picture.
Well, I've taken her to a lot of games. I actually met her in Denmark.
What's her name?
Her name is Amelie Wickman.
Okay.
And she'd never been to a game before. I took her to her first game last year, and she really loves basketball. She became a huge Lakers fan, unfortunately, but she and I have a good rivalry going on in regard to the Lakers, and of course, I gave her a bad time when Dallas swept the Lakers.
You know, it's good that chicks like guys with money. Don't you think? Like, some people, I've heard, you know, people get to be celebrity status or something, and they're like, wow, I can't find a girl that likes me for me. Like, who cares? Look who you're with. You know? Does she need to like, who's going to think that any girl would really like me for me anyway?
And are you liking her for her?
But then you got really famous.
Right. I think you got to use your fame or your money to your advantage. They're using their goods to their advantage.
That's the reason why you have it.
Do you agree with me, Jimmy?
Well, I have to take an exception with that because I like to think that it's more than
it's your charm.
Just fame and money. As I'm traveling a lot, people don't necessarily know who I am, and I still seem to do all right
okay.
with women.
Well, right. Then, yeah, once you're then in the arena of guys with money, though, you got to be cool. You know, you got to shine in that arena, I suppose. Here's Jimmy Goldstein. If mini giraffes were real, he would own one, right?
Yes.
That's how we can describe you.
What?
You probably don't watch DirecTV commercials.
But the really, really rich people have mini giraffes, and at least in the commercial. So I know that sounds really confusing, but just go with us.
It's your house. Can we talk about your house for a moment?
Sure.
Because we've talked, well, and we'll talk more NBA. But
and is that fair to say, by the way, as far as how he became opulent enough to go to 40 playoff games in 40 days? Real estate, is that a fair way to say how you made your riches? I don't mean to pry too much, but...
Let's just say property investments.
So okay. You went to college. You went to college in California. Where'd you go to college?
I went to Stanford University, undergraduate, and then UCLA graduate school.
Any kind of academic scholarships or anything, or no?
No scholarships.
Okay.
In those days, it wasn't very expensive to go to college like it is now.
Okay. Some California real estate.
Yes.
Holdings and such. That certainly is probably good to be in.
Well,
especially if you got in it back then.
It was until a few years ago, anyway.
Okay, but you're still doing okay, right? Are you currently working still?
I'm still working, but because of the nature of my investments, it doesn't require a lot of my time, and it enables me to do the things that I really enjoy.
And
which is basketball and international travel for fashion shows.
That's correct.
So, Milan... What other cities are known for their fashion shows?
Well, Paris is number
Paris,
one.
Paris, I'm sorry. Silly me.
But those aren't the only cities I go to. For example, I go to the Danish Fashion Week in Copenhagen, where I happen to meet Amelie. But I go to many cities. I go to Moscow regularly, where I really have a good time.
So that's when it's not basketball season, it's fashion season? Or do those things fit well together?
Well, there's a conflict that I have during late February and early March, but there are many shows that are during the summer and fall before the basketball season starts. And
now, is that because you're a fan of fashion, or is it? Do you dabble in it a little bit, or is
I've
what do you mean as a designer?
Right, right. Yeah.
I've gotten to be as well known in the fashion world as I am in the basketball world, and it's because I love fashion. I love to wear creative clothes. I love to see creativity on the runway. Of course, I like to hang out with the models.
Sure.
It's just sort of happened by itself, the same way it did in basketball, that after a while, people began to recognize me. And so when I go to places like Paris and Milan, everyone knows me for fashion, not basketball.
Let me ask you this. Why not, like Mark Cuban, also a guy who is a big fan.
And into fashion.
Made a lot of money. Now, his idea then was, hey, I'm at every Mavs game. I love basketball. How about I buy a team? Why not Jimmy Goldstein getting into the team ownership somewhere along the line?
Well, I certainly considered that strongly for many, many years, and it always seemed that the values of the teams were increasing faster than my earning capacity, and I didn't make a huge score the way Mark Cuban did, so I never ended up buying a team. I didn't want to have a lot of partners.
Okay,
so that didn't happen, but it turned out for the best because I'm having so much fun with basketball. I've gotten on the inside of it, knowing all the owners, general managers, coaches, players, having free access everywhere, and I don't have the worries of running a team. So I think it's turned out all right.
So yeah, and everybody loves you when you're not the owner. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So with regards to the outfits, I go cargo shorts and sandals, so I could not roll with you, Jimmy, but we already knew that, didn't we? With regards to, though, what you wear, are you the type that would not wear something very long? I think I could find 200 or 300 pictures of you on the internet, and I'm not sure I would find the same outfit very often. Are you one of those guys?
Well, that's a perceptive question because I have a rule for myself. I go to Paris and Milan shopping quite regularly for clothes, and I never wear something from a previous season. Once the new line of clothes comes out, I try to find something interesting from the new collections, and I put away the old pieces into my closet. And even though I have to part with some very special pieces sometimes, I stop wearing them and wear the latest.
So what's more expensive, outfitting your wardrobe or buying courtside seats and flying to all these games?
Well, they're in the same order of magnitude.
I would imagine. Those both sound like very expensive hobbies.
So let's talk about your house, which fascinates us, and on YouTube, right? We've seen some of it, at least.
It's very entourage-like. I feel like Vinny Chase might live there.
Okay, somewhere in L.A.?
It's in the Beverly Hills area of L.A., up in the hills.
Square foot?
Well, it's not about square footage, but the existing house is roughly 5,000 square feet, and I'm presently constructing another building on my property, several adjoining buildings, not adjoining the house, which will add another 8,000 square feet to what I have.
Is this the proposed nightclub?
Yes.
Office. Describe that then. That's not built yet then, huh?
That's under construction. It's taking shape right now.
What kind of acreage do you have?
I've got about 4 acres.
Okay. That's not cheap.
It's on a steep hillside, but
what'd you buy it 30 years ago?
I bought the house a little over 30 years ago.
For how much?
I paid $180,000 for my house.
Wow.
And now I...
Have you had it valued?
I pay... well, when I have this new addition completed, I would estimate that it'll be worth in excess of $30 million.
That's a very good investment, I think.
It really is.
But you had to wait 30 years, so...
Well, also, I put a lot of money into it, and right now I spend almost as much money every month as the entire house cost originally.
Really? Jeez. Okay, so let's just go with the first 5,000 square feet before we move on to your new addition.
Okay.
You've totally redone that over the years then?
Yes, I've made some drastic improvements to what was there when I bought it.
How many bedrooms and all that?
It has 4 bedrooms. It has a living room with a spectacular view of the city with very high ceilings. And it has a media room where I watch most of my basketball games when I'm not attending them in person.
How big is the screen there?
The screen is something like 130 inches.
So you can afford NBA League Pass, I bet.
That's
do you have DirecTV?
Very important to me. Yes, of course.
Okay, isn't there, we've always heard there's this secret DirecTV thing where you can pay for everything.
Yeah, do you have the big package on DirecTV where, gosh, Cuban was telling us about this. I forget the annual price, but you get
everything.
Every pay-per-view, all the channels are unlocked and there's no sort of subscriptions.
That's something that I haven't gotten because I'm only interested in watching the NBA games. I don't care about
the MLB package.
Seeing every movie that comes out or anything like
that.
So
you wouldn't consider yourself a sports fan of any other sports?
I'm a big fan of tennis, but I don't attend all the events the way I do in basketball.
I bet you could really stick out at Wimbledon in the front row.
So you got the big media room and
you should think about that, Jimmy.
The kitchen and all that kind of stuff. Do you have the do you have your own chef? Do you have your own staff there?
No. I like to prepare my own meals, do my own shopping.
Are you big into cooking or is it just a frozen
meal? I wouldn't say big, but I do it.
Okay. All right, now I don't know. Can we move outside the 5,000 square feet yet? Or do you have more on that?
There was one particular room that I saw on YouTube that's hard to describe.
The sky space? Is that what
it's
called?
Just like a light room?
Well, that's not part of the house. That's a separate building. It was designed by a famous artist by the name of James Turrell. And it's a work of art. It's not a living space. It's a space where you go to observe a special visual phenomena that is unlike anything you've ever seen before. And I bought it as though I was buying an art piece, but in this case, I bought only the design, and then I had to build it myself.
Okay, so what did that cost?
It cost roughly $1 million.
Okay, and that just seemed like it could be kind of a psychedelic experience without actually
something like
putting
that.
Something on your tongue, right?
Something like that.
And is that in
so
your history at all? Are you a guy who experimented with that kind of stuff? Or are you?
No, I've never been into drugs of any kind.
Oh, really? Okay, that's shocking.
It's a very direct question, Dan.
It's a direct answer too, which I appreciate. Okay? So now let's go outside the 5,000 square foot house into what you're designing.
Well, I'm in the process of building a complex which will include a tennis court on the roof, my own personal nightclub for entertaining underneath the tennis court.
You play a lot of tennis then, too, huh?
I play tennis, yes.
Okay.
It will also have a basketball hoop on it.
Of course.
Then there will be offices. There will be a theater with a screen much bigger than what I have now and elevated seating. There will be a huge terrace for entertainment purposes that will be coordinated with the nightclub indoors. There will be a dining capacity for roughly 100 people. There will be a guest house, and
but this won't be a public thing, though.
No, this
just
will,
when you decide. To...
This will be for my own entertainment purposes.
Okay, that's pretty awesome. Do you play video games?
No, not really. I've done a little bit in the past.
I just wondered how any of that NBA Jam or something to be on that 130-inch.
I have a follow-up to that. Do you actually play basketball on some level? I mean, not on some level, like professionally. Do you go out to the driveway and shoot hoops ever?
Yes.
Okay.
Regularly.
Oh, regularly. Nice.
You ever do something like a Jordan fantasy camp?
No, I've never done that.
Okay. Remember, Cuban's done those things.
You ever get out the trampoline and just kind of...
Put on the gorilla
suit. The tomahawk.
Do a few flips and just jam it home.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you became... I was reading, too, that in your history of NBA fandom, as you noted... Players take note of you, teams take note of you, whatnot. You became kind of close to one of the Rockets teams?
Yes. During their championship run in the 90s, I was taken in by the Rockets as their good luck charm, and I attended all their practices, traveled with them, was allowed to shoot hoops on whatever court they were playing on immediately after their practices.
Not just travel, though. Team bus travel, right?
Well, yes. I was with them all the time. Had dinners with many of the players, became close friends with the players.
Who was on that team?
Well, of course.
Was this when Jordan was gone?
Olajuwon.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler were the two most prominent
Kenny
player.
Kenny Smith?
Yeah. Did you get a ring?
You know, I didn't get a ring. Everyone said I should have gotten one. But when the team had just been purchased at the time that I was doing this, and the new owner seemed to have a problem with me because...
Oh, really?
You're hogging
his attention.
He could see that I had a closer relationship with the team than he did. So... he didn't give me a ring.
So is this, how do we feel about Dirk this year? How do we feel about the Mavs closing this deal, Jimmy? We need to know.
Well, first of all, on Dirk, I've always been a huge fan of Dirk Nowitzki. I've always admired him both as a player and on a personal level. And I'm so happy that he's doing as well as he is. As far as the team is concerned, I've already mentioned how I felt about their beating the Lakers, and I think they're in a very good position to advance to the finals, but I won't comment on the finals yet. I'd rather wait until that comes along.
It's a good idea. We all need to take it one step at a time. Let's not get carried away here. We remember 06. You remember 06.
Very well.
Very painful.
Were you at those games? Or is that the dumbest question I've ever asked?
That's a dumb question.
Okay. How would you have kept... I just think of... if you were the owner of the Cavs, you would have not let LeBron leave. I feel like you would have developed a relationship with him. What do you think?
Well, I'm sure I would have had a relationship with him. As it is right now, I'm on a very friendly basis with him. But I'm not sure that would have been the deciding factor. I was very disappointed that LeBron left Cleveland because Cleveland had such an outstanding season record. They had the best record in the league for 2 years. So I didn't think it was a case of his having to leave the team in order to win a championship. And I like to see stars spread throughout the league, not have them all be on the same team.
Yeah, okay.
Is there, out of all the games you've seen, is there anyone in particular that sticks out that you're going to sit back and say, man, that's the game. I'll never forget that one.
Well, there's so many of those that I can't put any ranking on them. I mean, for example, just recently I was at the triple overtime game in Memphis. So, you know, in the playoffs, every year there's some games that are so phenomenal that I can't say this game was the best game I've ever seen.
Well, listen, great to get you up here. We hope we helped you.
Hand this to Jimmy, will you?
We hope we helped you kill off a game day.
Jimmy, this is our wacky radio liner. We'd like you to throw your name in that blank spot, and then we'll have proof forever that you were in studio with us.
Okay. This is Jim Goldstein, and I never listened to the Bob and Dan show on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
I feel like you referred to yourself as Jim a couple of times. I feel bad for calling you Jimmy.
No problem.
Like you're not 12 years old.
Many people call me that, and I enjoy it.
Okay, you don't curse their name when
is this the game day threads? Is what we'll see tonight?
No, not necessarily. I haven't decided yet what I'm going to wear tonight.
It's a big decision.
How's that suitcase? How many suitcases do you travel with? Yeah.
Well, for the first time ever, during the day-to-day travel of the first two rounds, I just traveled with a carry-on bag. I'm used to having the Lakers in the playoffs, so I'm going back and forth to L.A., and I can restock. But, of course, this year, it's different. So, when the third round started, I packed a much bigger suitcase, and I have about six outfits to choose between right now.
All right, very nice. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you tonight.
Okay.
All right, there's Jim Goldstein, the most interesting man in our studio. It is 1:55 on The Ticket.